Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings and I-45 in Ritchie, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There we go. Welcome back in. And you need to make your way on in here. As the big voice man said, we are live on a Thirsty Thursday. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. There are TVs all over the place. As you want to watch some playoff baseball tonight, you want to watch some Thursday night football tonight, they have TVs everywhere, high, low, east, west, north, south. They've got them all over the place here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Again, the location we're at, we're right off Ritchie Road, so come make your way on out here. The address, 15800 North Freeway here, right off 45. Come on out here, make your way on out here and enjoy yourself on a Thirsty Thursday. Prizes to win as well. Gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop as well as other things you can win here. Bud Light Girls should be here soon. And to win, all you got to do is put your name in our raffle box and you'll have a chance to win out here.
This Buffalo Wild Wings is the first one where I'm questioning the overspend. I'm questioning whether those TVs up top above the second level above the bar are necessary.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know that I've ever been to a spot.
They are.
I mean, I think you'd live without them. The mother two 80 inches right below it. I think it's an overspend. I mean, which is a good thing in the sports bar business. I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
Saturday or Sunday, baby, we get games on all four of them puppies. And you can see them from anywhere. You're back here. You can see them. See them from all over the place.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, you can definitely see them from all over the place.
NCAA tournament, baby. You got all four of those bad boys right there. Let's go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can find a way to make them. I'm just saying, when you do you need them?
Yep. Okay. Got to have them.
Gotcha.
What the hell, I mean, do you need a lot? I mean, what stuff in here do you need? Right? I mean, they got 17.
Well, every TV, like if I sit right here and look straight ahead, every TV that I can see without my hat bill doesn't get in the way. I can't see those unless I get up.
I need them. I'm good right there.
I mean, I greatly appreciate it. And if you're going to overspend in a sports bar, do it up there. But I think that may be a little overkill.
I mean, do you need Asian Zing? Asian Zing for the flavor?
No, I personally don't, but there may be somebody out there with them taste buds.
They got 25
Champ
flavors.
Champ said, hell
here.
Yeah, he likes that Asian Zing.
They got 25 flavors. You need them? No, I mean, but you got them, you know? Good. Somebody needs it, and somebody needs that corner TV.
That's up there, man.
Somebody might walk in here and say, "Hey, man, can I get the Eastern Washington game?" Yeah, right there, ooh. Bet. Right,
yeah, put it up on the hanging from the rafters.
That corner spot right there. Yeah, some may need it, but no, make your way on out here so you can have a good time, and then maybe you could judge for yourself if it's an overspend. Oh, the TVs. I think it goes all the way around, too. I think they got three sets of it.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah, it goes all the way around, yeah. So, good spot here. Again, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings here off Ritchie Road. Come make your way on out here. All right, I was checking out NFL Live yesterday, and Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky, they were having a conversation about the Texans and what to take from them after their game against the Ravens. And I think there's a lot that Mina had to say here that I think I agree with and why I think they have a legit shot, right? You're wondering, all right, are we starting to get an understanding of what the Texans are? I think we'll learn a lot more coming up in these next four stretch of games after the bye week, especially starting off in Seattle on Monday night. But this is what Mina had to say. You can hear her skepticism a little bit, but where ultimately she lands, I think I am in the same space. Here's Mina Kimes talking about her thoughts on the Texans after this game against the Ravens.
The first two or three.
I want to believe.
Opponent?
I mean,
with that.
Some busted coverages, guys wide open, the under center. It felt like, C.J. Stroud must have felt the best he's felt in this game
in
2 years.
At least
yeah,
but
we've been
like
wondering, where's the under center play action? Where's Nico Collins on the deep digs that he's so good at? Right. He certainly saw it in this game. Granted, again, they were so unchallenged up front, it was hard to get a feel for it. But I think your point is good, which is that this defense is so good. And they've been so good. I'm put on the Rams tape, by the way. That they made Matthew Stafford
awesome
work
unit
for every single yeah yard. The offense doesn't have to be great. They just have to be competent. And if this is a step towards competency, then I will believe in this team again. But I yeah really want to see them do it against
a real opponent, real defense, yeah. But I'm at least encouraged by what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And Clint, I think in a way that's kind of what we said, right? We've looked at this and it's just like, yeah, you know what? I want to believe that, all right, the Texans have turned a complete corner offensively. That 44 they put up on the Ravens, that is just the tip of the iceberg. This is what we're going to see all the way. I don't know that I'm there yet, but Clint, they don't have to be that. They don't have to be that. Like, there was nothing. Yeah, that was Cooper Rush or whatever. It don't matter who that – I'm not looking at the defense's performance on Sunday and saying, oh, well, man, that was Cooper Rush and there was no Lamar. No, no, we watched them. As she said, they made Matt Stafford work. They made Baker Mayfield work. They've made every opponent defensively work. And we've seen them struggle. That's for real. And with that defense – trying to get into the postseason, even though Jacksonville and Indy have done what they've done. In most games they play, Clint, their offense just has to get to a space where they don't F it up for them. Right? These other games, man, they scored 9 points, man. You can't do that. I mean, there's not much you can do about that if you're the defense. They just have to get to a space, as she said, that they're competent. And I think what we watched at least the last 2 weeks shows – they can be competent and do that, even if it's against a better opponent. What they've done, it won't cause them to just flat lose games and not give themselves a chance.
Yeah, no, look, the formula for the Texans is without a doubt competent on offense, elite on defense. I mean, that's the formula, whether you like it or not. It's the only formula that's got a chance of actually coming true this season. And so I do think that with that formula, you can dig out of this hole. I do believe with that formula, you could potentially compete in this division, and you might get into the playoffs. I think with that formula, you are everybody doesn't get fired. Everybody not named D'Amico Ryans doesn't get fired. You know, with that formula, I think you can keep C.J. Stroud happy enough to where, you know, he's a long-term deal, he's chomping at the bit to sign kind of deal. Yeah, that's the formula. I think that in Houston is the best bet. The reality of it is, if you have had any level of expectations remaining that you had at the beginning of the year, you're going to need more than that.
Well, yes. I mean, now I don't think Mina or me are thinking, all right, this is how they become contenders and like contenders to win the AFC that way. Yes, when you go and face certain teams, and they got them on their schedule, Clint. When you go and face Buffalo, and you go and face, Kansas City, you go and face some of these teams, you have to be more than competent. But I do think it, even in those games, like we saw it against the Rams, even if you're competent, you at least leave yourself in a position, all right, well, maybe CJ and Nico can make a play. You know, maybe you put yourself in a – because I think the Texans' defense will keep them in spaces to where they can make a play. There in some of those games earlier, Clint, there was just no concern whatsoever.
Yeah,
of what the Texans are going to do to
them. I don't look. I think our defense is elite. Obviously, we've said that from preseason, hell, from the end of last year when they started acquiring guys. In today's game, when you're talking about the better offenses challenging them, I think they're going to score points. I mean, they're going to shut out or hold a team to 6 points or hold a team to 10 points that is a bad football team.
Yep.
I think moving forward, like, I'd be honest with you. I think if you play the Rams mid-year instead of the first rattle out of the box when Matthew Stafford hadn't played football in 6 months, I think that's a different ballgame. And by the way, everybody wants to talk about, oh, well, one play, this happens. You know, one play, that's a double-digit loss. If you look at it from the other perspective,
Rams, yeah.
I mean, the Rams are on their way to score to take a double-digit lead when Azeez Al-Shaair punches the ball out, and you now all of a sudden you've got a chance. Let's be honest, the Rams were one play away from beating you by double-digit scores, and we're not sitting here talking about having to lean on how boy versus good opponents we've hung in there close. Like that whole argument can be taken, I mean, several different ways. So I can't stand that right there, but. The reality of it is if you want to get to, you know, above 500, if you want to get to 8-9 wins, if you want to have a chance to give yourself a chance in this division, then competent offense, elite defense will get.
That has got to at least be like the floor. They have to be able. They can't have games like Jacksonville. And B. Scott was talking about that yesterday. Like, that's a game they should have won. Because Jacksonville, they didn't act like they wanted to win that game either, and you did all these things. But, like, in that game, they didn't give – they had, what, multiple turnovers. They just – the only time they were really able to score, you know, get in the end zone was when Jacksonville kind of blew a coverage on a double move.
Double move.
They can't have that. Like, they can't have those games. They've got to be able to bring stuff to the party where – hey, man, you know, the defense isn't on the field the whole time, and they go through stretches where they can't gain yards. I just think what we've watched the last 2 weeks, that they're able to at least apply what they're doing. Maybe the outcome's not the same.
But they apply
what they're doing. They're giving their offense a chance in the team.
I'll say this. I'm confident that they'll do that for one reason, and it's seven. It's C.J. Stroud. I think C.J. Stroud, the big shift in C.J. Stroud's approach to playing the position absolutely changes the game and forces guys that are maybe hard-headed or don't have the ability to change their approach, it forces them to change their approach. It makes everybody around him better. And so I think, you know, the success that C.J. saw is really powerful. And I do believe that you're going to see a much more bought-in C.J. Stroud from jump, from start to finish. And I think that in itself bears a significantly better offensive product for the Texans. Yes. I mean, significantly better. Now, I don't know that when I say significantly better, I mean you ain't going to score 6 points in three quarters versus a bottom-of-the-barrel, you know, Tennessee Titans team kind of deal. Yep. The ceiling, I don't know, but I know it raises the floor significantly.
Yeah. Yeah, text line coming through. Clint is a realist. He always tells it. Like it is, I 100% agree. I don't think either one of us go about doing it any different. We'll see. I think that will give him a shot. I know Tyler doesn't agree with this. I felt really bad last night watching Clayton Kershaw. That was a tough one last night. He's in awe.
What happened?
He's
I was
awe,
laughing.
He got blown off the mound, didn't he?
I knew Tyler. It's just like, I mean, Clayton Kershaw is a Texas boy,
Highland Park.
Texas kid, nice guy, good dude. It's the end.
Provided me one of my favorite Astros memories ever.
I thought he might fall apart right there on the mound in tears, to be honest with you, Clint. I mean, he got his ass served.
I'll be honest with you. I can look at the history, the resume, and respect and admire what he's done. But, you know, prior to getting into this business, I mean, beyond the Astros for damn sure, I was never a guy that was going to sit down and just watch baseball to watch baseball. That sports fan blows my mind, actually. Like I used to do radio with a guy in Little Rock some, an older gentleman, and he would watch every Major League Baseball game throughout the week. And I'm like, bro, you got a hobby?
I love baseball.
You got anything? I mean, he was like, so my point in saying that is, I don't know that I really ever paid much mind to Kershaw until I got in this business, and I don't think that I've ever seen Kershaw have a good outing. I'm being dead ass serious. I know I've missed a lot of them, but I think since I've been in this business, I think I've probably seen Kershaw on the mound 10 times, And all 10 of them, he is getting absolutely shelled. And to your point, looks like he's fixing to cry.
A lot of it happens in the playoffs. Then maybe I've seen Clayton
that would make some sense why I saw it, because I damn sure ain't watching anybody other than Astros regular season.
Yeah, he's won the MVP.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. No, I know. He's been unbelievable. He's been tremendous.
Sure?
But it's just like every time I turn it on, I'm like, damn. I mean, to the point where when you say the name, I feel sorry for him. And I didn't even see him crying last night.
Last night was a rough watch. It was – the reason for me is he is one of the greatest pitchers of all time. I think him and Verlander are the two best pitchers of this generation. And that might be the last time they could put him out there. And his last time is 2 innings, 6 hits, 5 runs, oof, no strikeouts, 2 walks, 2 home runs, and I mean towering shots. And I mean the outs he got an out on a pickoff. There were diving catches that were made to get him out of the inning. And it was just like you could see in the stands. I think Sandy Koufax came out there for that game for that bull. Now he was up when he came in because he came out of the bullpen because he's not starting. And Sandy was up giving him a round of applause, clapping. And everybody, I mean, the announcers, everybody just, God, get this over. Somebody get it out. Somebody get out. And I for me, I hope that isn't his last outing. Because he's already announced he's retiring at the end of this season. Like, I know Tyler enjoyed every minute of it, and I'm not even going to look at the text line or YouTube and Twitch because I'm sure they did. I like Clayton Kershaw is somebody who's never done anything to you all. So I don't know why you have the hatred. I could see the Yankees. Clayton Kershaw didn't do anything to you all. But I mean, for you, Tyler, I can only see how much you enjoyed it.
How I feel about him isn't quite like the Yankee turd, though.
It shouldn't be.
Like, I got sports hate for them. With him, it's just kind of like I just chuckle because he's provided me so many good memories as an Astros.
I can see the Yankees blowing it like you said they would last night, getting you going.
How about that?
Clayton, I was like in the Rocky movie, somebody just threw in the damn towel. That's what I'm just throwing the damn towel, man. Just get out of it. Thank God. But I hope he gets in there and maybe he gets one more at bat. And then they take his and he gets a guy out and they take his ass right out. And that's the last we see of Clayton Kershaw, because his last outing can't be just watching ball after ball just get tattooed all over the field.
Hell, if you ask me, that's his last 5 or 6 outings.
or the only time you've ever seen it.
I'm not kidding, man. I can't think of one time when I
must think like this guy's a Hall of Famer.
Boy, I mean, he has really hung on. He hung on to his career longer than I did.
Oh, by the way, hey, and according to Luke Morrow, who was on In the Loop, he's really let it go. I guess me and Luke were in here a couple of weeks ago, Tyler, whenever Framber made that selfless act for his team.
Yeah.
They clinched the division. A playoff spot the Dodgers did, and I guess Clayton took his shirt off to put on the championship shirt. Luke looked over at him like I took off my shirt.
The dad bod going.
He got a little pot belly.
Yeah. I was just like, man.
He's a tall drink of water, too.
I mean,
man.
You remember Tyler, his signature pitch, that curveball, man, he almost hit multiple people in the head with that curveball yesterday. It was rough. It was rough. All right. Is there a new number one? A new number one with the Texans? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Oh my gosh, you guys are so funny.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings at I-45 in Ritchie, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back. As I see the Bud Light girls are here and walking around. I see you walking around, and they've got some things that they can hook you up with as well. So come on out and have a good time. Shout out to Bud Light as well as Buffalo Wild Wings, who helped put this Thirsty Thursday together as we're out each and every week. If you heard the big voice guy, we're out here off Ritchie Road here at this Buffalo Wild Wings off 45. Come on out and hang out. Starting in the 4 o'clock hour, we'll be hooking folks up with different prizes, Texas Star Grill Shop, and we've got a projector. You can win a projector coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. If you have not put your name in our raffle box, you may want to do that to give yourself a chance to win. All right, Clint, coming into this season, 713-572-4610, because I think a lot of people may have different opinions and thoughts on this. Coming into the season, it was clear the number one concern or biggest question, the thing that we were looking at, Clint, was offensive line. It is what killed them last year. And then they made the move. They moved on from Laremy Tunsil. They were going to move, Titus Howard. They brought in Cam Robinson. They brought in Lincoln Tomlinson. They brought in Ed Ingram. They did a lot of different things. They drafted Ariante Ursary. They did a lot of different things. That was the number one thing we talked about in training camp. We talked about in preseason all the way up to this point. We're five games into the season. And now we're at the bye week. And about to, after this week, start the next part of the season. 5 weeks into it, now that you've been able to watch this team, would you say that is still the number one question or concern with this team? Or are there things now that have become more pressing than that? 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in with your thoughts on this as well. Text in, is the offensive line still the biggest question or concern for you 5 weeks into this team?
No.
That's a good thing. That's a really good thing then.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great thing. I'm not worried about the offensive line. Are they going to have some struggles as we see better opponents? Absolutely. I'm not worried about Dalton Schultz, the tight end position. Do I think he's going to continue to move body the way that he's done the last 2 weeks? No, I don't. But I think there's a different approach. the running back position, feel better about it than I did when we first got started. I think Chubb's better than many expected, and I think Woody Marks has emerged sooner than expected. My main concern right now is the wide receiver position. I don't know if this team has enough firepower beyond Nico Collins. I don't know if you have enough like right now. And serious question. I mean, take the fact that there's 20 Texans items hanging in your closet. Like seriously, like who do you trust in a big moment in the game, third and four, third and five, they press you across the board. Let's say they put a safety over the top of Nico and Nico's not an option. Who do you trust is going to separate right now and make a play on third and five? Like, who do you feel good about going to? Like, that's my –
in a passing game?
Yes.
Probably Woody Marks after Nico?
Yeah. Yeah, rookie running back. So, I mean, whether that's right or wrong is irrelevant. The point is you even go to a rookie running back that we've seen play, really one game at the NFL level. That's the biggest concern for me with the Texans right now. So, that's really a plus. I mean, there were a lot of issues. Quarterback play was my number one concern. What is his – how did he approach offensive football? That seems to have been answered. The O-line and really the pass protection, not just the O-line as a whole, that has been answered. I think Nick Cayley's even shown some promise with what he's able to do over the last five quarters. And really, as I've said multiple times, I think it's more so over the last eight quarters, if we're being honest. CJ just missed a couple. So, I think there's been a lot of questions answered to where I'm not concerned. Am I real excited about any of it? No, but I'm not concerned about it. My concern right now is you're going to have no matter what brand of ball, like I said, the offensive line and the Nick Cayley, not having experience. Like, I think CJ playing the brand of football, like, it helps all of that. Like, I don't know that.
See, I was going to say, Nick Cayley is still my number, is now my number one.
Yeah, no, I'm even with that, it's a good call because I wasn't thinking about it from that perspective, but I'd still go wide receivers. Like, I mean, our pass catchers just in general.
Yeah. People are texting in, Kirk and Hutch are stepping up.
They stepped up against Baltimore. But so did everybody else. So look, I hope I'm wrong. I think if Hutch had the level of separability that I've talked about, he wouldn't be a reserve wide receiver going into the season again every year. Like there's just a, I think it has to be Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
But I mean, we need to see a healthy Christian Kirk that's not, hampered by the hamstring or Father Time or whatever it may be. So. But that's you asked concern. That's really my only concern right now.
Receiving.
I mean, my expectations aren't as high as they were before the season started. But I think right now where we sit, now it's likely to change, but right now where we sit, I think it's wide receiver. It's pass catcher ability to separate.
Yeah.
Opportunity for C.J. Stroud.
Again, as I said, I think I think it's a really good thing that yep. the offensive line for me, I'm with you. I would have Nick Caley and secondary receivers probably above offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like right now at this point. Now we'll see. It could change. I look at this group. One, they've settled on the five, it seems like. That would have been different if we were still rocking this yep. rotation thing. But they've settled on the five. And I think that we have reached the point that we were talking about. And I know that I've said during the offseason is, can they just be average?
Yep.
Can they just, you know, be solid and almost like in baseball, make the plays that are there in front of you? Maybe they're not going to make it spectacular plays. You know, maybe they run into a Jeffrey Simmons and, you know, CJ and Nick are going to have to do things to counter that. Maybe when they run up against the Broncos, who lead the league in sacks, that they're going to have to do some things. But can you at least be solid, be average? And I think this group is building and working to that. And I think that's a – That's a big thing. I think people, it seems like a lot of people just disagree with us about the receiver thing with Noel and Higgins.
Well, look, I mean, it's not a popular opinion given that we just watched them. I mean, hell, you had two touchdowns from 19, one from Nico, one from 14. I mean, hell, if you take the penalties away, 88 caught a touchdown. I mean, it was like Oprah giving one to anybody and everybody.
Yeah. You get a car. You get a car.
You get a catch.
You get a catch.
You want a target? You got a target.
Davis
you want a
target? He'll throw you.
I mean, if you choose to look at that as if that's gonna travel to Seattle, I hope like hell you're right and I'm wrong because it's gonna make for a great post game show.
Text line said the interior defensive line they still would look over the offensive line. I don't know.
Yeah, I think defensively, I just trust D'Amico.
That's hard to roll through after the Derrick Henry game.
Well, I mean, look, we've seen D'Amico scheme up good defenses with reserve safeties and corners and nickels. Like of those five positions, we've seen him, last year? Was it three or four of the five were out? Like, we've seen him put a winning defense on the field missing three or four starting DBs.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like – you know, the adjustment that he made this week versus Baltimore, which was five down, I feel like if that game against Tampa would have been a little deeper in the season, we probably would have saw that early on to stop the run as well.
Yeah.
So I trust D'Amico for anything on the defense to really make me lose sleep, be honest with you.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings here on a Thirsty Thursday, Ritchie Road location, Buffalo Wild Wings, make your way on out here. Tyler's going to laugh, but is Arch Manning getting too much blame right now for Texas and their offensive issues? Is he getting too much blame at this point? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings at I-45 in Ritchie. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome. As we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, as the big voice man said, get on down here, right here off Ritchie Road. It's a great time. We have a good time. The food is good. I think I'm about to order me up some food. And great drinks. I see my man Chris, who slid in here, who's having himself a good time out here, working over with the maybe getting some action with the Bud. No, not some action, but some drinks with the Bud Light girls. hell, man! I hope, man. Good luck to you. What time is it?
It's 3:45.
No, it's football talk.
43.
Yeah, my bad.
By Paramount Plus, you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
This guy's good.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, bro.
That was good. Did somebody look at the time? I know Clint did.
Killing it, dude.
I'm trying to see if I can slide him in every time. Clint, I see somebody on the text line from the tees already said, listen, I'm a Longhorn fan, and Arch is trash, and there has to be another option. And it seems like things have turned in the last week or so. And I've seen a lot of conversations about Arch in, hey, man, I think people are kind of going over the top with him, being unfair about him. It's not just Arch, or Arch is not being put in a great situation. Arch has thrown for over 1,100 yards. He's got 11 touchdowns, 5 picks, and he's got 5 rushing touchdowns, 160 yards. But in particular, in those games against Ohio State and Florida, the two, you know, Power 4 teams they played, he's just 430-plus yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks, no rushing touchdowns in that period. So it does look a little different there. But do you think he's getting too much blame right now? Because there are some arguments there with his offensive line. They have the highest pressure rate in the SEC. And also his skilled position, guys, I know you've talked about a bit. Man, they had 15 yards rushing against Florida from running backs, and he led the team in rushing. But do you think he's getting too much of the blame?
No, but only because I just don't believe that a quarterback ever gets too much or too little. Like, I mean, the reality of it is when it's bad, you talk about getting too much, and when it's good, you get too much. So you just got to take the bad with the good. And I think it's fair. Now, look, I think you've got the element out there where if you write a story or if you have an opinion and it includes the Manning last name, then obviously it's going to get clicks. And so you've got a lot of piling on, if you will. But I don't think there's any way around it. He's not a freshman in college. As you've mentioned many a time, it's his third year in this system, and it hasn't been good. He has not been good. Now, a lot more goes into it than just the fact that he has not been good. The O-line, as you mentioned, has not been good. I think they got a real speed explosion problem at Texas relative to what we've typically seen at Texas.
Their best receivers are redshirt freshmen, right? Like, and you talked about that. Yeah. One of the things that stuck out to you outside of him is just –
I mean,
don't look like Texas.
I think Wingo is a guy that plays on Sunday. Wingo is a guy that when and I don't even know if he's healthy, but he's a guy when he touches the football, it is like you can tell that's a different dude right there. But you look back on Texas. I mean, Texas usually has a running back that can do that. They usually got an above average tight end. They usually got 2 or 3 wide receivers that can catch a screen and take it the distance. Right now, they got one guy out of all of them that I feel like stands out on Saturday when you watch him play. And then on top of that, you got a quarterback that his arm talent and his athletic ability are nowhere even remotely close to where the hype was around that quarterback. That's just the reality of it. So the bottom line is he's a guy that's going to have to win between the ears. He's not a guy that's going to keep plays afloat because of his athletic ability. He's not a guy that's going to be able to fit balls in windows that other guys can't. He is a pro-style quarterback that is going to have to win between the ears. Now, look, they all got to win between the ears to some degree. His margin for error is slim to none simply because all the other stuff was overrated. And it was overrated since he came out of high school. This isn't – I mean, I know there's a lot of people piling on right now, but this has been a
– That part you don't think is a pile on, just no, that his skill
yeah,
set.
I just – unfortunately, his last name and the way that he was built up and then the fact that he couldn't live up to it is what is driving all of this. But the reality of it is you know, most quarterbacks in college need some reps. The offensive line is not as good as it typically has been, and the speed is not there that typically Texas has. And I think I haven't studied Sark enough to comfortably and confidently say this, but there's a lot of folks out there that believe that Steve Sarkisian's offense and his play calling has been subpar.
People just text that in. Don't leave out Sark. He's got to be a part of it. And
well, I know.
I just can't tell if it's Sark, if he's handcuffed by what Arch is capable of doing, and that is why it looks the way it does, or if it is just Sark just just not putting him in the best position.
Well, I think it's a little bit of all of it. You watch that last game, and I mean, he's got a guy on a third and seven or eight that's just Sark has schemed up a corner route. He's wide open. Now, he gets hit, so you can say the O-line, but he gets hit in his shoulder, but he sells it. He should have let go of that ball a second earlier and just laid it on the sideline and let him come out of his break and just drift right back down the sideline. It'd have been a 15 to 18 yard gain, and you're huddling up and you're rolling. But instead, you hold it a tick, you get hit, so your protection's getting hammered. You're getting hammered because you know you don't make the throw. Your coach sucks because he can't scheme anybody open. In reality, that guy was open. If the quarterback gets the ball out early, then it protects the O line and it protects the play caller. It's a little bit of all of it, and the reality is at some point, your quarterback's got to overcome that. Your quarterback's got to make you right. And right now, I don't think Arch Manning has enough make you right in his game to even get remotely close to meeting expectations.
Yeah, text line coming through. Champ Slice said he thinks he's injured. Text line coming through, I think Arch looked better when he was under center last year. With the support of the personnel he had last year and all those guys that graduated that are now playing in the league. Someone else said, wrong, Arch is getting way too much blame. When CJ or Deshaun Watson struggled, you always blamed it on the offensive line.
Very different.
And said no quarterback could succeed in these situations if you blamed it all on the offensive plate. But listen, there is no way that you heard us. I will speak for myself. Well, I had never just said, well, nobody can – no offense, no quarterback
well,
can perform.
I never said that. I mean, I just sat there and explained to you why that I mentioned the coach, I mentioned the play caller, the O-line, and no speed on offense. What the hell else should we do? I mean, what the hell else should we do? The reality of it is, look, if your offense stinks, your quarterback's going to get hammered. If your offense is good, and I'm talking about national media. I'm not talking about me personally. Hell, I choose to take a different route and watch the film and figure out what's going on versus I'm just telling you that the national media and just in fans in general, you look at a team that stinks, you go, oh, the quarterback sucks. But you look at a team that's good and you go, boy, that quarterback's a Heisman quarterback. They get too much credit no matter what it is. That's just the reality of playing the position.
I'm with you. I don't think he's getting too much blame because I think he could help a lot of the situation. If like you, the examples you gave, there were throws out there where you're like, oh man, the offensive line didn't protect him. There were throws out there where some of the six sacks that he got last week were throws that he just didn't trust and wasn't ready to pull the trigger. And as you said, you could see that that was a freshman, a young player that hadn't played a lot. I'm not saying he played a lot, but, I mean, he got two or three starts last year, and he's in his third year in the program. And he all of those sacks are not the offensive line's fault. And I do think he would help the situation more. No, it's not perfect. No, it doesn't appear that Texas has the normal Texas off, you know, skill players or guys around, or even the offensive line. A lot of those guys like Banks graduated, but we've watched a lot of quarterbacks make these guys better. That cat at Florida State, even though they've struggled a bit lately, he's made a lot of the guys around him better. Like we've seen that. And I bet Sark probably expected that Arch would be a guy that would pull that off too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, you got a guy, the guy they played last week, DJ Lagway. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that's got a rifle for an arm and is an athlete, and he can't overcome what's going on in Florida in his second year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's going to be the one that gets hammered for it. And is that fair? Probably not, but it's the reality of it. If he turns the season around, which they're not because he's hurt, but if they were to turn their season around and go on a run, then everybody talking about DJ Lagway would be next year's early Heisman favorite. So I guarantee you right now, Steve Sarkisian sitting in Austin right now worrying about his offensive line and his skill guys more so than his quarterback.
All right, coming up as we continue right here live on The Drive. Coming up, what you got in the four?